Our reading today will be taken on the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 to 10, the resurrection of Jesus. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised. As he said, come, let's see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and infallible word. Amen.
Amen.
He is risen. Today we celebrate that the crown of thorns became the crown of glory. Hallelujah. If you're going to applaud him, applaud him. We magnify your name, King Jesus. We glorify your name. You are alive. You are alive. Hallelujah. Do you think I like Easter? The resurrection is the public triumph of Jesus the King over death, over fear, over evil, and over sin. And it births new people who worship, witness, and walk in his presence. Resurrection Sunday is not a sentimental moment. It is not simply a nice ending to a tragic story. It is the turning point of history. It is the day the King stepped out of the grave and declared, without speaking a word, that death does not get the final say. And I want to speak to the honest reality in the room today. Some of us come with faith, but we are tired. Some come with joy, but we are fragile. Some come with questions, some with grief. Some come with sin that we cannot shake, and pressure that we cannot name, and fear that we cannot explain. Matthew 28 does not begin with a choir. It begins with women walking toward a tomb, not with applause, but with a stone, not with certainty, but with sorrow mixed with love. And into that moment, the King triumphs. Verse 1 says, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Matthew is telling you something in that phrase that you should notice. The first day of the week was dawning. This is not merely a timestamp. This is theology. The resurrection happens at the dawn. A new day is breaking. It happens on the first day, like Genesis, a new beginning. It is a recreation. This is the moment when life springs out of the dirt in Jerusalem. It's not a concept, it's not an idea, it is a reality. Time, history, space, and matter are changed by what happened on that morning. These women realize that God is at work. It happens while faithful people are still walking in grief, because God's greatest work often meets us before our feelings catch up. These women came to see the tomb. They came to look at the place where hope was buried. But the gospel is this: they go looking for death and they find life. And if I wonder if someone is here today seeing the tomb, online or in this room, staring at what looks final, a diagnosis, a family fracture, a closed door, a secret addiction, a disappointment you can't name publicly. And the Lord sent me to you this morning to tell you resurrection begins at dawn. When you can barely see, God is already moving. In verses 2-4, we read, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men." That is funny. You don't realize that's funny. The only people that look like dead people are the guards that are supposed to be guarding the dead man. But the dead man's not there. And the guards are so frightened, they look dead. Matthew is deliberately being funny, by the way. You are allowed to laugh at some aspects of the Bible. The guards, paid to keep the dead man in, end up looking dead themselves. The living Christ is not trembling. The armed men are. Matthew says there's an earthquake. This isn't drama for drama's sake. In Matthew's gospel, earthquakes accompany world-changing events. At his death, there was an earthquake and 500 people raised from the dead. Creation itself is responding. The earth is doing something. It is saying, as Jesus rises from the dead, something has happened here. The world can never be the same again. And notice the detail. The angel rolls back the stone and sits on it. That stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out. No stone could imprison him. The stone was rolled away to let the disciples see in. The resurrection is not God hiding truth. It is God revealing truth. And there's a word here for the spiritual atmosphere in this city and for the private atmosphere in our own lives. When the king triumphs, foundations shake. Powers that looked permanent suddenly look fragile. Things that held us suddenly lose their hold. Some of us have learned to live as if fear is normal, as if anxiety or oppression or shame is normal. They are not. Resurrection is an announcement. Another kingdom has arrived, and it is stronger than every torment that we face. Verse 5-7 says, "But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him.'" This is the first message of resurrection morning. Do not be afraid. Not because nothing is wrong, but because Jesus is alive. The angel names the reality. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Christian faith is not denial. It looks the cross in the face. It acknowledges suffering, injustice, pain, betrayal, and death. But then comes the sentence that changes the universe. Just because you've read it, don't miss it. Don't get used to it. Don't drift off thinking of roast lamb in a couple of hours. This is the sentence that changes the universe. He is not here. He has been raised. That is the king's triumph. Not he has been resuscitated. Not his influence lives on in a moral kind of way. Not his teaching remains to this day and we can read it. No. He has been raised. The one that was dead is dead no more. That means the cross was not defeat. It was atonement. The tomb was not final. It was temporary. And death was not the victor. It was defeated because life has vanquished death in Jesus Christ. And don't you love the invitation? Come. See the place where he lay. God is not afraid of your examination. The resurrection is not a fragile rumor that has to be protected by defensible arguments and strong words. Come see where he lay, because he's not there anymore. He is alive. Last Saturday morning, a group of our evangelists and pastors went onto the streets of Hackney in something called Evangelism Explosion. And 27 people, Evangelism Invasion, and 27 people discovered the living Jesus last Saturday morning in Hackney. That is the power of resurrection. Yesterday, 61 of our evangelists, 57 of our congregation, and 5 pastors went back to Hackney again. And yesterday, 36 people were born again. Somebody give God a praise in the house. God is not afraid of our examination. The resurrection is not fragile. It is an announcement. Look at where death used to hold him, and it's empty now. Then the angel gives them a mission. Go quickly and tell his disciples. The first resurrection witnesses in Matthew are these faithful, brave women, overlooked by the world still, but honored by heaven. God entrusts resurrection news to ordinary disciples. And watch the content of the message. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. That matters. Galilee is not the religious center. Jerusalem is the religious center. Galilee is the place of the ordinary, the mixed, the messy, the everyday. The resurrection means Jesus meets his people not only in sacred places, but in streets and workplaces and kitchens and schools and studios and stations of daily life and corners of Kensington Park Gardens and Hyde Park. Kensington Temple, London City Church. Hear this. The risen King does not only meet us in a service today, he goes ahead of us into London and into the world. Verse 8 says, so they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. If that isn't the human experience of resurrection, I don't know what is. Fear and great joy. Sometimes we think faith should cancel our fear instantly. But the Bible is far more honest than that. Resurrection produces a strange, holy mixture. You're still trembling, but you're also thrilled. You're still processing, but you're also praising. You can't really explain it. You don't really understand it. I've been a follower of Jesus 40 years. I still can't explain the resurrection to you. I just know that there was a man who was dead, and he's not dead anymore. For someone today, I'm giving you permission. You don't have to be sorted. You don't have to have everything in the right place. God can bring healing to you right here, right now, wherever you are and whatever you face. The question is not, do you feel fear? The question is, will you obey in the direction of joy? They ran to tell his disciples. Their feet moved before their emotions settled. That's often what faith looks like. Verses 9 and 10. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers. This is the heartbeat of my message to you today. Resurrection is not merely an event to admire. It's a person to encounter. As the worship group join me again, I want to remind you that this scripture says, suddenly Jesus met them. I love that. They're running on obedience, and he meets them on the way. Some of you today are going to discover this. When you start walking in the direction of obedience, prayer again, worship again, church again, forgiveness again, Jesus meets you in the middle of the journey. And what does he say? Greetings. It's almost disarmingly simple, isn't it? It's not a lecture, not a rebuke, not a theological examination. The first words of the risen Christ to these women are relational. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm with you. Then they do something profound. They take hold of his feet and they worship him. This is physical and grounded worship. It says, this is not a ghost. You can't hold a ghost's feet. This is not an idea. This is the real Jesus. And it is the proper response to the king's triumph, worship. Not because life is easy, but because Jesus is Lord. Then Jesus repeats the same message, do not be afraid. He doesn't send his angels to say it, he says it himself. Because courage is not a technique. Courage is a person. If Christ is risen, then even if Friday has hurt us and Saturday has been silent, Sunday means you can face your future. You can walk through grief. You can break with sin. You can forgive and you can hope again. And he adds something astonishing. Go and tell my brothers. The disciples are about to be called brothers. After failure, after running, after denying, after hiding. Resurrection doesn't only defeat death. It restores relationships. The risen king gathers failures into family. That means nobody is too far gone for Jesus to restore. Not in this room, not in this city, and not in the nations we carry on our hearts. So as we prepare to worship again, let me give you three resurrection declarations. Number one, the king's triumph means that your worst moment doesn't get the final word. The tomb is not the conclusion. If Jesus is risen, then the Father specializes in turning finished into future. Number two, the king's triumph means fear is no longer your master. Fear may speak, but it does not rule. Twice in this passage, do not be afraid. Resurrection doesn't remove every challenge, but it removes fear's authority. And thirdly, the king's triumph means we are sent first to our Galilee, to our world, our everyday. The risen Jesus goes ahead of us. Resurrection is not an escape from mission. It is the fuel for mission. London needs this more than inspiration. It needs Jesus. The world needs more than advice. It needs a risen king. Resurrection Sunday must not end as a story that we have heard. It must continue as a story we are part of and a reality that we have received. So maybe for the first time today, you come to Jesus as your king. If you are not sure you belong to Jesus, today is the day. The empty tomb is God's receipt that the payment of the cross was accepted. Turn from sin, trust Christ, and surrender to him. Or maybe you need to pray with me and be restored. If you've been hiding, like the disciples, maybe you only come to church on Resurrection Sunday. Come again next week. Get into a life group. Get into a discipleship group. Get into a cell group. Let people help you to grow as you follow Jesus. If you've been hiding because of shame or compromise or distance, hear Jesus' words, my brothers and my sisters, come home. He is a restoring God. Or maybe you need the Spirit's power. This is not only a celebration service, it is a transforming service. If you need healing, if you need freedom, if you need fresh infilling, if you need courage or renewed joy, come as we worship the risen Christ still meets people suddenly. And as we respond, our worship will rise, not performance worship, but foot-holding worship. The worship that says, Jesus, you are real, you are risen, and you are my king. For 40 years, every Good Friday and every Resurrection Sunday, I write a poem. I've never published them. I probably never will. But this morning, here is what I wrote. At first light, it's called The King's Triumph. At first light, the stone held its breath. Dew clung to the mouth of the garden. Earth carrying the weight of him, heel, rib, shoulder pressed into clay and trembled like tilled fields before the plow returns. Women came with the grammar of grief, spices learning their sad names. The birds would not keep still. Something in the hedges had shifted. Death's long sentence was missing its final word. The grave lay open, not robbed, but unfastened, as a door for guests. Linen slumped where thunder once slept. Power had passed through silence like fire through green wood. No scorch, only life. He rose, not as a ghost of revenge, but as first fruits, muscle and marrow, dawn heavy with promise. The kingdom did not arrive armed. It stood breathing, asking to be recognized. This is how empires crack. Not by sword or shouted decree, but by love that will not stay buried. By obedience that descends to the pit and returns carrying keys. Hear it, the undersong of creation. Stones practicing hallelujahs. Fields loosening their long despair. The poor lift their heads. A table is being set in the teeth of Rome. His victory tastes of bread, smells of river water and sweat. Wounds are kept, not healed away, as banners of a different reign, power made perfect where power once killed. Now the Spirit is loose in the lanes, seeding forgiveness in hard ground, training the meek for inheritance. This is the work of the risen King, not escape from earth, but earth made faithful. So we walk, shoulders squared with hope, under a sky newly sworn to us. History bends not towards despair, but towards a wounded Lord who lives and will never stop reigning. KTLCC, the King has triumphed. The stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. The guards are shaking. The women are running. The disciples will be restored. And Jesus is alive. So lift your head. Strengthen your heart. Open your mouth in praise. And go into London with resurrection hope. The King lives. And because he lives, we will live. We are not soldiers held by the fortune of yesterday. Goodbye yesterday. Hello today.